It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 17th day of December 2019. This is the Horn Headon.live, is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And it is, of course, a Tuesday. It's Titanic Tuesday, Trump-tanic Tuesday. And we have an epic moment of Trumpism that begins the program. Yes, indeed. Hi, I'm Bob, and sorry about last night. But that's what happens when you live on a planet whose climate is in crisis. Like I said in my social media posts, I'm down in Alabama right now. I'm working on a project. We'll talk more about it as time goes on. I'm working on a project, and I'll be here for a while, and I kind of had a feeling, and let's be clear, it's not like when I say I'm in Alabama, it's not like I'm at the beach, okay? I'm not at the Gulf Coast, but I had a feeling when the temperature hit 75 degrees yesterday at the midpoint mark of December that we were in for something ugly. And in fact, we were. The reason I bugged out so quickly is I got a message from Agnes saying, look at your phone. And I looked at my phone and it said, hey, tornado warning, seek shelter right damn now. And you take that stuff seriously. So I shut everything down and eventually wound up in the bathtub, because that's where you go when you don't have a basement. Covered up in the bedspread with a couple of nice thick pillows that hopefully would stop, 300 mile an hour projectiles from going through me. Then you're sitting there looking at the fixtures on the bathtub saying, do I want to lean against them and get driven onto them? Or do I want to sit in front of them and have them shot through me? It's just another day in America. It's kind of like going to, a midnight showing of a really popular movie somewhere. You never know. The National Ruble Association, one of their devotees, may decide to have an outbreak of Second Amendment freedom in the movie theater, and, well, there you go. I mean, we just passed the anniversary, the seventh anniversary, my God, the seventh anniversary of the massacre at Sandy Hook. And there's not a single one of those parents who sent their kids to school that day with any notion of what was coming for them. Of course, in the name of freedom. So that's it right. But every program here at the Horn does begin with freedom. It begins with gratitude. Freedom on the brain. It begins with gratitude, and we have thanks to send out to our subscribers for the 17th day of the month. And that would mean thank yous all around to Nancy and to Laborman. Thank you very kindly. And I can happily say that with the challenge that Nidia put on the table last night, which we didn't get to complete, and that was my fault. But nonetheless, what is it that we've got $40 to go on Nidia's challenge. And then to get caught up with the evening after that, because remember, this isn't a match your money challenge. This is a triple your money challenge, courtesy of Nidia. This is the Time for Greta challenge for Greta Thunberg. And so as a consequence of that, Nidia put up a $75 challenge. If that gets met, and we are $35 toward it, thanks to Hung Like Jesus, who jumped in on it. And thanks as well to, wait, I got that wrong. We're only $15 away, thanks to Charlene in Rogues Island, thanks to Ralph's, and thanks to Hung Like Jesus. So we're $15 away from meeting Nidia's challenge, okay? And that will then mean that we've only got $175 to go to get even with where we are here in mid-December. So thank you again to Nidia. Thank you to Charlene. Thank you to Hung Like Jesus. And thank you to Ralph's. Thank you all very, very kindly indeed. Thanks to our subscribers. If you'd like to be a subscriber, well, it's easy enough. You go over to headon.live. You click on the contribute tab and put in like $10. And that means for every program, you're going to be out less than the cost of a pack of Big Red gum. You know, the little five-stick affair or whatever it is. Less than half the cost of that. That's what a subscription to the Horn is about. And if you do that, well, it'll be nice because we're down a few subscribers. It's the end of the year. You understand, things like that happen. But so we've got $190 to raise this evening, and the next $15 wipes out Nidia's challenge, and then we go from there. Oh, and by the way, for those of you who are worrying about something like this, the healthcare.gov server crashed on the last night of open enrollment. It's open through midnight tomorrow. And so I'm hoping, depending on how fundraising goes, I'm hoping to be able to pay my first premium for some kind of crummy coverage that will at least afford me a modicum of, a false sense of security. How's that? Okay. So it is, it's Trump-tanic Tuesday. And if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place when this program is live, well, jump on in. Go over to headon.live, click on chat room, and there you'll find waiting to greet you early arrivers Anatole and Jimmy and Squeaky. And you'll be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has indeed folded space to become Man Cave for the first time in a while, capably assisted by pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Sparky says, I cut into his chore time now. Yeah, because it's 2 o'clock out on the West Coast. Sorry about that, Sparky. But this will work out better. The time change is for the foreseeable future. It may become permanent, though, depending on how people respond to it. Because, as Steve from Georgistan pointed out, there's rather a dry spot for progressive broadcasting in this hour. So where do we begin this evening with this Trump-tanic Tuesday? Where indeed? Well, I got an idea. You know, this is the time of year when people send correspondence around saying, hello, friend, hello, family member, hello, neighbor. Here's the year-end recap of the Schmendrick family for 2019. It was a good year for the Schmendricks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We don't have that. Make no mistake, we do not have that. But we do have a piece of correspondence we can look into. Yeah. And it's from none other, being as how this is Trump-tanic Tuesday. It's from none other than Nitwit Nero. Correspondent extraordinaire. That he isn't. I mean, this isn't exactly a letter from Cicero to Atticus or anything like that. No. He decided, Nitwit Nero did, to write a letter. I want to write a letter. I want to write it right now. To Nancy Pelosi. Now, you may recall that Comb Over Caligula decided to try to be clever and trash Nancy Pelosi via Twitter, of course, not long back. And in this particular instance, it was particularly ugly. Mark Meadows, who is one of the chief maggots, had put out a statement, a tweet against Nancy Pelosi because she is, well, she and the House majority are actually taking their constitutional oath seriously. And so the genius, that's genius with a J, Donald J. Trump, the J stands for genius, decided to say, well, he said, because Nancy's teeth were falling out of her mouth and she didn't have time to think. Now, there's no evidence that Nancy Pelosi was having any dental problems. But as is always the case, whenever Julius Geezer decides to critique someone or try to attack someone, he winds up talking about something that he thinks about in his own regard instead, because that's the nature of his pathology. So consequently, her teeth were falling out of her mouth, and we've got this.
Ourselves to a path of mutual understanding and respect. Let us rethink old assumptions and open our hearts and minds to possible and possibilities. And finally, I ask the leaders of the region, political and religious, Israeli and Palestinian, Jewish and Christian and Muslim, to join us in the noble quest for lasting peace. Thank you. God bless you. God bless Israel. God bless the Palestinians. And God bless the United States. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And just for the sake of the record, let's understand, I didn't mess with that audio at all. That was Donald Trump's teeth falling out of Donald Trump's mouth. And so we go to this piece of correspondence. On White House letterhead, no less, that will that will live in its own sort of infamy, as FDR coined the phrase. It's dated today, and I want to make sure that we do it justice. So let's see here. Yeah, okay.
Dear Madam Speaker, I write to express my strongest and most powerful protest against the partisan impeachment crusade being pursued by the Democrats in the House of Representatives. This impeachment represents an unprecedented and unconstitutional abuse of power by Democrat lawmakers, unequaled in nearly 2.5 centuries of American legislative history. Of course it doesn't, but he's an idiot. The articles of impeachment introduced by the House Judiciary Committee are not recognizable under any standard of constitutional theory, interpretation, or jurisprudence. This is the part where you know that he didn't actually write this. He just raved for a while and they wove it into some language. They include no crimes, no misdemeanors, and no offenses whatsoever.
Well, that's because they don't have to. Because the Constitution says high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors, which does not mean violations of the criminal code.
You cheapened the importance of the very ugly word impeachment.
I would think if it was a very ugly word, it would be pretty cheap in the first place. But, well, we're not dealing with a, we're not dealing with an Einstein or a Tesla or anything. No.
By proceeding with your invalid impeachment, you're violating your oaths of office. You're breaking your allegiance to the Constitution, and you're declaring open war on American democracy.
No. The ones violating their oaths are, of course, the Republicans who are looking at it and saying, "Ah, it works for me. The checks are still clearing." People like mendacious, mush-mouthed poltroon Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins, who had a hissy today in the House Rules Committee. Yeah, him. Yeah, not recognizable under any standard of constitutional theory. We kind of had constitutional lawyers there who said, "Yeah, we're constitutional lawyers and constitutional experts," and yes, it does. And there's the only violation of an oath of office has been happening with him since the moment his hand came off the Bible on January the 20th, 2017.
You dare to invoke the Founding Fathers in pursuit of this election nullification scheme.
Well, really, there's no election to nullify because he lost.
Yet your spiteful actions display unfettered contempt for America's founding, and your egregious conduct threatens to destroy that which our founders pledged their very lives to build.
Well, no, dummy, that's the Declaration of Independence, not the Constitution.
Even worse than offending the Founding Fathers, you're offending Americans of faith by continually saying, "I pray for the president," when you know this statement is not true, unless it's meant in a negative sense. It's a terrible thing you're doing, but you will have to live with it, not I.
How does he know? What if she really does pray for that? I don't. I don't pray. But what if she does? How does he know? He doesn't. But again, it's a matter of projection. Because he's the one who doesn't pray. He's the one who thinks that there's a book in the New Testament called 2 Corinthians walk into a bar. Yeah. I mean, this is like reading the transcript of the ravings of a dude on a bad acid trip.
Your first claim, abuse of power, is a completely disingenuous, meritless, and baseless invention of your imagination.
Funny, there are 17 fact witnesses to that baseless invention.
You know that I had a totally innocent conversation with the president of Ukraine.
No, we don't know that. That's what you keep claiming. But then again, you're the same guy who tells 15 lies a day, according to the count that the Washington Post has been keeping lately.
I then had a second conversation that has been misquoted, mischaracterized, and fraudulently represented. Fortunately, there was a transcript of the conversation taken, and you know from the transcript, which was immediately made available, that the paragraph in question was perfect.
He's hung up on that word perfect, isn't he? But of course, he's probably talking about that document that says at the top of it, this is not a transcript. Which means he's never even seen it.
I said to President Zelensky, I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I said, do us a favor, not me.
Underlines on us and me.
And our country, not a campaign. I then mentioned the Attorney General of the United States. Every time I talk with a foreign leader, I put America's interests first, just as I did with President Zelensky.
Who do you think's working on? Who was in on this? Stephanie Grisham? Stephen Miller? You think Bill Barr to prosecution might have had a little bit in it?
You know full well that Vice President Biden used his office for $1 billion of U.S. aid money to coerce Ukraine into firing the prosecutor who was digging into the company paying his son millions of dollars.
That is exactly, and we talked about this before the tornado warning last night, that's exactly the opposite of what happened. The EU, the United States, the World Monetary Fund, you know, all, that bunch, knew that the prosecutor was as dirty as Pigpen, you know, from the comic strip Peanuts. Just plain dirty. Clouds of dirt came off of him, and filth and graft and grift and crime and grime and corruption everywhere he went. And so Joe Biden was tasked with the job of going and getting rid of him.
You know this because Biden bragged about it on video. Biden openly stated, I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. I looked at them and said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch, he got fired.
Even Joe Biden admitted just days ago in an interview with NPR that it looked bad.
Now you're trying to impeach me by falsely accusing me of doing what Joe Biden has admitted he actually did.
What you're getting here is an advanced look of the psychosis that's going to pass for a defense in the Senate. Not the Senate trial. We talked about this a little bit yesterday before the program was interrupted. Not the Senate trial, but rather the Senate cover-up. Because that's what Precious Lindsay and Moscow Mitch, Leningrad Lindsay and Moscow Mitch, will be engaged in. Yeah. It's going to all be, they're going to try, it's going to be like a rape trial. You know, where the defense counsel for the accused rapist decides to put evidence on of what a tramp the rape victim was. It doesn't work well with most juries, and it won't work well with the American people.
President Zelensky has repeatedly declared that I did nothing wrong and that there was no pressure.
Okay, capital N, no, capital P, pressure. Apparently he got to proofread it somehow or another. And he capitalized no and pressure. There's no way he can write this. His brain is too far gone.
He further emphasized that it was a good phone call, that I don't feel pressure, and explicitly stressed that nobody pushed me.
No, he jumped.
The Ukrainian foreign minister stated very clearly, I have never seen a direct link between investigations and security assistance. He also said there was capital N, no capital P, pressure.
I mean, this thing goes on for 6 pages. We'll get through it all, Won't be easy. We'll get through it all. You might want to get the hockey puck and the duct tape and maybe put the straw in the swirly straw in the tequila bottle. But most of this is confessional.
Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, he works in the lumber mill there. No, I added that part. A supporter of Ukraine who met privately with President Zelensky has said, at no time during this meeting was there any mention by Zelensky or any Ukrainian that they were feeling pressure to do anything in return for the military aid. Many meetings have been held between representatives of Ukraine and our country. Never once did Ukraine complain about pressure being applied, not once. Ambassador Sondland testified, I told him no quid pro quo, I want nothing, I want President Zelensky to do the right thing, do what he ran on.
Yeah, there's only one problem. They gave us a specific date for that phone call. And that phone call, well, it doesn't exist. I mean, it's not a question of interpretation. I mean, the phone call doesn't exist.
The second claim, so-called obstruction of Congress, is preposterous and dangerous. House Democrats are trying to impeach the duly elected president of the United States for...
What do you want to bet if you go back that some of these things are actual transcriptions from the mad rantings and ravings of, say, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, and Sean Hannity Job, the life support system for a haircut?
Trying to impeach the duly elected president of the United States for asserting constitutionally based privileges that have been asserted on a bipartisan basis by administrations of both political parties throughout our nation's history.
That was one of the talking points during today's mad little hearing in front of the House Rules Committee when Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins, that fine Confederate pastor that he is, showed up for the Republican side and squealed things just like that, and was rebutted at every turn by Jamie Raskin, who had been pressed into service because Representative Gerald Nadler, the chairman's wife, Joyce, has been taken suddenly ill. So Representative Nadler wasn't able to show up, and Representative Raskin, who is, I think, a freshman, but a constitutional scholar in his own right, acquitted himself well.
Under that standard, every American president would have been impeached many times over.
Well, no, that's not true, because every American president didn't try to run a shakedown scam on a foreign country, a foreign ally. Oh, and one other thing with that regard, within that regard. We need to have a little bit better understanding of the shakedown scam itself. You know, Michael Cohen said that this is how he operates. This shakedown is nothing new to him. This isn't something he did just because he became president. This is something that he's been doing all his life. Okay? All his life. It's how he's run every contract. It's how he's run every construction scam.
Well, I'm getting ready to pay you, but I need a little favor for you from you first. I need you to I need you to trim your bill. I need you to cut your bill a little bit, and then I need you to cut a check to me, Donald J. Trump. The J stands for genius. And then we'll get this taken care of. But we need a little favor from you. You know, we, the Trump Organization.
This is pattern and practice stuff. I'll bet you that anybody, any contractor that Donald Trump has fucked in the last 30 years can Well, they can tell you that they went through something very similar.
As liberal law professor Jonathan Turley, which he isn't, warned when addressing congressional Democrats, I can't emphasize this enough. If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it's an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You're doing precisely what you're criticizing a president for doing.
Well, the funny thing is, the only way you can compel under that Turley theory, then it was an abuse of power to take Nixon to court in order to get him to comply with the subpoenas that he was served with.
Everyone, you included, knows exactly what is happening.
Remember, this is a letter to the Speaker of the House.
Your chosen candidate lost the election in 2016 in an Electoral College landslide, 306 to 227.
I'm surprised he hasn't brought up the size of his inauguration crowd here.
And you and your party have never recovered from this defeat.
I don't know. I'd say the 2018 midterms were a pretty good recovery. I mean, that was an ass-beating.
You've developed a full-fledged case of what many in the media call Trump derangement syndrome, and sadly, you will never get over it. Never. You're unwilling and unable to accept the verdict issued at the ballot box during the great election of 2016.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. He didn't wind up as president of the United States by virtue of anything that happened at the ballot box. He happened into the presidency by virtue of what happened with the Electoral College. A nasty-ass anachronism from our vicious slavery past. But if anybody tries to remind him,
no, it's because they bust people into New Hampshire from Massachusetts.
Yeah. God almighty. He's not okay.
So you spent 3 years attempting to overturn the will of the American people and nullify their votes. You view democracy as your enemy.
No. Not and in particular, he's not president as a result of any democratic action. He's president as a result of specifically undemocratic action. The Electoral College. Democracy says the person with the most votes wins. The undemocratic Electoral College says, no, we're going to interject a political machination into the process. Oh, and by the way, again, we got $15 to go to finish Nidia's challenge, and then $175 after that to come up to even. With where we need to be here just one day into the second half of December.
Speaker Pelosi, you admitted last week at a public forum that your party's impeachment effort has been going on for 2.5 years, long before you ever heard about a phone call with Ukraine. 19 minutes after I took the oath of office, the Washington Post published a story. He's the oaf of office, headlined, "The campaign to impeach President Trump has begun, less than 3 months after my..."
This has all been said that good God, they must have had a strychnine party or something to come up with the draft for this. Because these are lines from Jim Shorts Jordan, and lines from Louis Gohmert, and lines from Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins.
House Democrats introduced the first impeachment resolution against me within months of my inauguration.
No, that's House Democrat, not one. That's Democrat. That's Representative Green from Texas. And you know what? The grounds that he introduced your impeachment on were valid grounds. And you're just lucky there's not a count based on those, dipshit. I mean, this is a catalog of his grievances.
House Democrats introduced the first impeachment for what will be regarded as one of our country's best decisions, the firing of James Comey, who the world now knows is one of the dirtiest cops our nation has ever seen. A ranting and raving congressman, Rashida Tlaib, declared just hours after she was sworn into office, we're going to go and we're going to impeach the motherfucker. Representative Al Green said in May, I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he'll get reelected. Again, you and your allies said and did all of these things long before you ever heard of President Zelensky or anything related to Ukraine. As you know very well, this impeachment drive has nothing to do with Ukraine or the totally appropriate conversation, totally, I had with its new president. You know, we've got President Dementia Valley Boy. Totally. It only has to do with your attempt to undo the election of 2016 and steal the election of 2020. Congressman Adam Schiff has cheated and lied all the way up to the present day, even going so far as to fraudulently make up out of thin air my conversation with President Zelensky of Ukraine and read this fantasy language to Congress as though it were said by me. His shameless lies and deceptions dating all the way back to the Russia hoax is one of the main reasons we are here today.
Part of the reason for this letter as well, and who knows, this may be, I wonder if there's there's always Louis Asparagus Gohmert and Mo Brooks, Les Brames, and Jim Shorts Jordan and that crowd. I wonder if any of them tomorrow during the debate on impeachment, I wonder if any of them will have the courage to read it into the record with their own voices. This is a desperate little campaign pitch because now we're into
you and your party are desperate to distract from America's extraordinary economy, incredible jobs boom, record stock market, soaring confidence, and flourishing citizens. We have the most flourishing citizens. Citizens are flourishing all over the place. They're particularly flourishing the little non-citizens in the concrete dog cages in the concentration camps. They're flourishing, definitely flourishing. Your party simply cannot compete with our record. 7 million new jobs, most of them at $10 an hour or below. 3.5 million people doing 7 million new jobs because they're 20 hours a week and you can't feed a family. A rebuilt military that didn't need to be rebuilt. A completely reformed VA with choice and accountability for our great veterans. That was a plan that was started under Obama, but I can't bear to say that the rubes don't know that, and I'm not going to smarten them up. I can't smarten up anybody because I'm not very smart. More than 170 new federal judges and 2 Supreme Court justices, one of whom shouldn't be there because the seat was stolen by Moscow Mitch McConnell. The first new branch of the United States military since 1947.
Interesting that he would choose 1947 because it was 1948, I believe, when Harry Truman integrated the military.
Strong protection of the Second Amendment, criminal justice reform. A defeated ISIS caliphate, which isn't defeated and isn't a caliphate. And the killing of the world's number one terrorist leader, al-Baghdadi. He died like a dog. No, that part's in there, not in there, mercifully. The replacement of the disastrous NAFTA trade deal with the wonderful USMCA.
Here's the problem. The USMCA is just not that different from NAFTA. And Mexico's not particularly happy about it right now because they feel like they got sort of shafted.
Cancellation of the unfair and costly Paris Climate Accord because the world's not warm enough yet. A colossal reduction in illegal border crossings, an ending of catch and release, and the building of the southern border wall. And that's just the beginning. There's so much more. There's also no wall. And this is the bottom of page 3. There's nothing I would rather do than stop referring to your party as the do-nothing Democrats. Unfortunately, I don't know that will ever give me a chance to do so.
I mean, this was actually delivered to Nancy Pelosi's office. What would you have given to have been a fly on the wall there? You know they had to read it out loud. You know the speaker sat there behind her desk, struggling not to break out laughing. Yeah, I know. Sparky says the Air Force was created as a separate branch in 1947. I know that. But there's an irony in the fact that he cites 1947 when the military was integrated in 1948. Because the goddess of irony doesn't miss this stuff. That's what happens when the son of a Klansman becomes president of the United States. But then again, he shouldn't have the name of the United States military in his mouth to begin with because he's a coward. Brother Deacon Asa says, regarding 19 minutes after I took the oath of office, anyone recall a little meeting of 15 re-pig-fucking-senators at the caucus room restaurant right after Obama was inaugurated? You know, the meeting where they plotted to render him a three-fifths of a president? Payback's a witch hunt, ain't it? Yeah. Yeah, it is. After 3 years of unfair and unwarranted investigations, $45 million spent, 18 angry Democratic prosecutors, the entire force of the FBI headed by leadership now proven to be totally incompetent and corrupt. Wow. What did he say? The entire force of the FBI headed by leadership now proven to be totally incompetent and corrupt. That's his own FBI director, Chris Wray. Yeah, Steve, yeah. Steve in New York asking the understandable question. Wait a sec. This is the actual text of a letter he wrote to the Speaker of the House of Representatives? Yeah, I told you. I wasn't playing. I wasn't kidding. This is real. Yeah, Darlene in Connecticut, what's going on with Trump slurring and lisping? It's kind of sad and concerning. You really think it's his teeth falling out of his mouth? Like he's got dentures? Not to goon on people with dentures by any stretch, but are you sure those verbal botches had something to do with dentures? Or are you just being factitious? It's the best estimate we have. If it's not dentures, then that is something much, much, much worse. And for the sake of a terrified nation, we'd better hope it's dentures. How about that? Flavio reminding us, happy impeachment eve. It falls on Saturnalia, too. What a coincidence. Saturnalia being the winter solstice holiday of the ancient Romans, in which, for a day or so, the masters of the house would switch places with the slaves of the house, and for a day the slaves would be masters and the masters would be slaves. Let's remember that Roman slavery was not chattel slavery. It wasn't American style slavery. People sold themselves into slavery in order to better their lot in life. And if, for instance, Greek men would come from the Attic Peninsula and sell themselves into Roman slavery and be the tutors for the children of wealthy Romans, earn enough money, open their own schools, buy their freedom, and go from there. Yeah, Ralph's pointing out, Trump's Festivus list came early. It took a minute, but Robert in Australia caught on. J stands for genius? What? Oh, I get it. As to the shakedown scam, Steve in New York says, in other words, it's a feature, not a flaw. Precisely. Heck of a... and this is just...
You do not know, nor do you care, the great damage and hurt you've inflicted upon wonderful and loving members of my family. You conducted a fake investigation upon the democratically elected president of the United States, and you're doing it yet again.
Really? Hurt? Inflicted? Like when that stripper you married wore the coat that says, I really don't care, to you? Of course, there's a new book out now that says that was a message not to the American people, but aimed at Ivanka, because there's a terrible personality conflict between melanoma and Princess Iwanka my daddy Trump Kushner.
There are not many people who could have taken the punishment inflicted during this period of time and yet done so much for the success of America and its citizens. But instead of putting our country first, you've decided this is, I don't know, this is some, this is a repurposed rant from one of his stupid rallies. You're the ones interfering in America's elections. Hey, do you remember? Not a puppet. You're the puppet. Not a puppet.
Well, this is that.
You're the ones interfering in America's elections. You're the ones subverting America's democracy. You're the ones obstructing justice, capital O, capital J. You're the ones bringing pain and suffering to our republic.
And see, if he actually scrawls it out with his little black crayon on a legal pad and it comes back to him and it's been grammatically and spelling corrected, he throws a fit and puts that shit back in.
Before the impeachment hoax, it was the Russian witch hunt.
I swear he's going to be naked playing with himself in Lafayette Square before this is all over.
You forced our nation through turmoil and torment over a wholly fabricated story illegally purchased from a foreign spy by Hillary Clinton and the DNC in order to assault our democracy.
It wasn't illegal, dumbass. It's called opposition research. And it was started not by a foreign spy, but by a Republican publication in Washington, D.C.
When the monstrous lie was debunked and this Democrat conspiracy dissolved into dust, you did not apologize.
Well, that's the problem. It wasn't debunked and it didn't dissolve into dust. Do things dissolve into dust? I mean, this is just one of those art of word knowing moments, but really, does dissolve actually imply dust? Yeah, according to him, Hillary Clinton and the DNC assaulted our democracy.
You did not ask, you did not recant, you did not ask for to be forgiven. You showed no remorse, no capacity for self-reflection.
When has that motherfucker ever sought forgiveness? When has he ever apologized, no matter who he hurt? Remember the Central Park Five? He demanded that they be killed in the name of the state, and even when they were exonerated, he doubled down. Yeah, I remember that.
You engineered an attempt to frame and defame an innocent person.
Because he's innocent, like a newborn baby. Newborn baby rat.
Your speakership and your party are held hostage by your most deranged and radical representatives of the far left. Each one of your members lives in fear of a socialist primary challenger. This is what is driving impeachment. Look at Congressman Nadler's challenger. Look at yourself and others. Do not take our country down with your party.
And this is where the paranoia comes in, because he knows he's caught. He knows what he did. He knows what his campaign did.
If you truly cared about freedom and liberty for our nation, then you would be devoting your vast investigative resources to exposing the full truth concerning the FBI's horrifying abuses of power before, during, and after the 2016 election, including the use of spies against my campaign,
which there were none of. Surveillance is not spies. I guess he was allowed to have a couple of copies of Mad Magazine as a kid. I don't know.
The FBI has great and honorable people, but the leadership was inept and corrupt. I would think that you would personally be appalled by these revelations because in your press conference the day you announced impeachment, you tied the impeachment effort directly to the completely discredited Russia hoax, declaring twice that all roads lead to Putin when you know that's an abject lie.
And see, we know that he didn't write this because we know he doesn't know the word abject.
I've been far tougher on Russia than President Obama ever even thought to be.
Well, no. No, not really. I mean, there are those sanctions that got lifted.
Any member of Congress who votes in support of impeachment against every shred of truth, fact, evidence, and legal principle is showing how deeply they revile the voters and how truly they did.
This stupid fucker thinks everybody in America voted for him. What about the people who live in districts where people are cheering their member of Congress for supporting the Constitution and the oath that they took to it? Against an enemy domestic. Support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Worse still, I've been deprived of basic constitutional due process from the beginning of this impeachment scam right up into the present.
Dummy. Stupid person. You were afforded every opportunity to come and participate in the hearing in the House Judiciary Committee. You chose not to show up, stupid. Waste of air.
Our founders feared the tribalization of partisan politics, and you're bringing their worst fears to life.
That part got added. He couldn't spell tribalization.
Liberty-bibbity-liberty-boochima. On his best day. I didn't get to have my own counsel present to confront accusers and to call and cross-examine witnesses like the so-called whistleblower who started this entire hoax with a false report of the phone call that bears no relationship to the actual phone call that was made.
Except it does. And then there was no need for the whistleblower because Dum Dum went out and admitted it.
Once I presented the transcribed call, which surprised and shocked the fraudsters, they never thought that such evidence would be presented. The so-called whistleblower and the second whistleblower disappeared because they got caught, their report was a fraud, and they were no longer going to be made available to us. In other words, once the phone call was made public, your whole plot blew up, but that didn't stop you from continuing.
You know, from time to time on this program, I have played that clip. Not going to do it again. Not going to do it now. Of Captain Queeg losing his shit on the stand in the trial of the Kane Mutiny. And if you watch that movie all the way through to the end, you'll find that ultimately it was sad what happened to Captain Queeg that caused his breakdown. This letter makes the business with the steel balls and the strawberries and the ice cream seem positively sane by comparison. Tonight, if you're listening in real time, tonight, America, tonight, Horn Family Community Congregation, do you realize what grave danger our country is in? And look, let's be clear. I'm not even talking about the impeachable offenses. I'm talking about the mad, disordered mind that can demand that a letter like this not only be written, but that it be sent. I don't know about you, but I know that in my life, from time to time, I've written letters. Even up into the modern era with the emails. And tweets, even. And I've thought seriously, you know, and I was rage writing, rage tweeting. I've mentioned before that the ancient Persians were said to have, and this is through one of the Greek histories, they were said to have an intellectual tradition that said that no plan should ever be put into action until it had been considered both drunk and sober. And a lot of times that's what happens with us. Might have a couple of glasses of wine or whatever, and you're like, God damn it. And then you start writing a letter. Dear editor, but you don't stick it in the envelope. You might sign it. You don't stick it in the envelope. You sure don't lick the envelope. You definitely don't put a stamp on the envelope. But you leave it sitting there till the next morning. Or maybe you reconsider the tweet or the Facebook post. Because something inside you, some sort of executive intellectual function, tells you that sending what you have just created might wind up being more of a problem than whatever problem you perceived to exist in the first place. It's kind of like what Reverbo says. I just got a note from Reverbo. It really does beg the question of the Republicans who are standing behind him. Can anyone control this guy? But they're not all that interested in controlling him. They're just interested in the acquisition and exercise of raw, naked, hateful, Machiavellian, ends justify the means, politics and power. But like I said, this letter proves the deep disorder of his mind. And it proves that far more than impeachment, if we had a functioning executive branch instead of an executive branch peopled by toadies and lickspittles, this letter and this letter alone would be more than sufficient to trigger Section 4 of the 25th Amendment. A buddy of mine, one of the fraternity of Michaels, on Facebook, tagged me earlier with this story, and I'd seen it already, and he posted it to his page and said, "What the fuck did I just read?" This is true madness. True terrifying madness.
This is nothing more than an illegal partisan attempted coup that will, based on recent sentiment, badly fail at the voting booth. You're not just after me as president, you're after the entire Republican Party.
Well, because the entire Republican Party is him now. Whatever opposition there was to him during the primary process and the run-up to it has evaporated. It is his party now. There is no old school Republican Party. I don't care what Bishop Willard Romney thinks. And the old Republican Party isn't coming back. This is the Senate after the assassination of Nero, when they were offered their old role running running things in Roman government again, and they said, we need a new emperor. There are some genies that do not go back in bottles, and Pandora's bottle can never be stoppered up again. It's Pandora's bottle. Agnes was telling me that the other day. I said Pandora's box. She said, no, it's Pandora's bottle. Look it up. Damn, she was right. She always is. This is terrifying. This is the guy who can, at a moment's notice, nuke the world. And there's nothing in place to stop him. And some of what he says may be true. It remains to be seen whether this impeachment will suffice. To get him diselected? Or whether, in fact, it will see him re-elected? There's really no way to know. We have something to do with that. Get out the damn vote. That's the most important thing coming up in the next less than 365 days now. The second most important thing is to not run around as Democrats, progressives, liberals, whatever we're calling ourselves these days, not run around looking for a reason to be butthurt. Not to run around picking at 2016's scabs. Not to become ideologically pure and members of the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity patrol, declaring I'll vote for this candidate but never for that one. Because if you cannot say I will vote for whoever the Democratic nominee is, then you really don't think Donald Trump is that much of a problem. You really don't think he's a problem at all. You don't think the death of the Constitution and of constitutional governance is a big deal. Because there's no way to have your cake and eat it too on this. Either he is the constitutional nightmare that kept James Madison up at night, or, we'll get over this. And whatever comes later, fuck it. If you can't say, I will vote for whoever the Democratic nominee is, then I don't ever want to hear anybody who can't do that say a goddamn word about climate change or civil rights or children in cages or fascism or corporatism or the abuse of our judicial process. Or the appointment of judges. Not a fucking word. Ever. Again. I mean, look at this.
More due process was afforded to those accused in the Salem witch trials.
More weight, motherfucker.
Perhaps most insulting of all is their false display of solemnity. You apparently have so little respect for the American people that you expect them to believe that you're approaching this impeachment somberly, reservedly, and reluctantly.
Those are more words that he didn't know that were put in by Stephen Miller or Stephanie Grisham or one of the other little ass-kissers.
No intelligent person believes what you're saying.
So anybody, so now, according to his disordered mind, anyone who doesn't believe him is unintelligent. I'm telling you, he's not okay.
Since the moment I won the election, the Democratic Party,
Dick,
has been possessed by impeachment fever. There's no reticence. This is not a somber affair. You're making a mockery of impeachment, and you're scarcely concealing your hatred of me, of the Republican Party, and tens of millions of patriotic Americans. They're not patriotic.
They're little fascist camp followers. And they are why our system of government is dying.
The voters are wise, and they're seeing straight through this empty, hollow, and dangerous game you're playing.
How is that? I mean, it seems to be the thought they did all the seeing through back when they took the majority in the House away from the Republicans.
I have no doubt the American people will hold you and the Democrats fully responsible in the upcoming 2020 election. They will not soon forgive your perversion of justice and abuse of power. You know what he sounds like there?
He sounds like somebody who knows the fix is already in. That his friend, Vlad Putin, has it all set up. Which is actually kind of interesting. Because by God, that's kind of what the Russians are saying. No, really. They made a claim, Russian state media, one of their television shows, that Donald Trump is their tool. I wish I was kidding. I'm not.
Years from now, when I will have been dead a long time, but I can't count. When people look back at this affair, I want them to understand it and learn from it so that it can never happen to another president again. While I have no expectation that you will do so, I write this letter to you for the purpose of history and to put my thoughts on a permanent an indelible record.
He thinks that writing his name in Sharpie means that it's permanent and indelible. Jesus Christ. Is that as chilling to you? I mean, sure, we have our fun. We do our funny little voices and whatnot. But I think that's a way of holding the madness at bay. Because otherwise, we might be gripped by paralyzing terror. Obviously you don't respond to this except to, you know, go over it on programs like this. Nancy Pelosi, I don't know, maybe she'll say something. Maybe she'll point out that this is proof that the 25th Amendment probably needs to be triggered. Because he ain't okay. Now, for the maggots, yeah, it really doesn't matter. Nothing's going to change them. But I really wasn't kidding a moment ago when I said that over in Mother Russia, they're admitting that he's their tool, that he's their creature, their thing. It's very real indeed. And it is in its own right terrifying. Because of just what it means, if it's true. At the same time that Rudy Giuliani was admitting that he was the one who orchestrated the sliming of Marie Yovanovitch, damn. You know, it'd be really nice if I could get this story to come up. Some days you get the bear. Some days the bear getteth you. But I'm not one to give up. Give me just a second here. Got some slow computing going on here. And if you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to it. Flavio pointing out he still can't say United States without slurring his speech. Legislates. And we don't know. That might be the speed, but it sure does seem dental. Oh my God, says Darlene. Trump is trying to work out his mommy issues with Nancy Pelosi, and don't think for one moment that Nancy doesn't know it. Oh, she knows lots of things he doesn't know. Because, of course, we're talking here about President Dunning-Kruger. The man who doesn't know what he doesn't know. But yeah, Russian state TV, the damn thing finally loaded. Russian state TV aired a piece called Puppet Master and Agent. How to understand Lavrov's meeting with Trump. And explain to the viewers that Trump is a servant of Russian interests. If you want to find the full piece, it's over at the Daily Beast. It's shocking. a Russian Sunday news show called Vesti Nedeli. The host there is a guy named Vladimir Soloviev. And being a smart ass, he said, well, Donald Trump probably will have to come and seek refuge in Mother Russia once he is out of office. And part of that state TV show was aimed at using propaganda to demoralize the Ukraine. Valery Korovin, who is the director for the Center of Geopolitical Expertise on the state television channel Russia 24, said there are no disagreements or contradictions between Trump and Russia. And by the way, now that Rudy Giuliani's back, his documentary footage is going to be aired on that Onan, you know, the channel that spills its news upon the ground. And Russian TV has been promoting that as well. This is who the president of the United States is. And they're giggling in Mother Russia. Jesus. And then, well, I'll tell you what. Let's, hopefully at some point we will knock out that last $15. And then we will work on the next 175, so we're not in a big hole in the middle of December. That's where we find ourselves this evening. $190 to go. 15 to finish off the challenge, the time for Greta that Nydia put forward, and then 175 after that. Oh, and by the way, I neglected to mention the big breaking news of the afternoon. You may recall that the last time we saw him showing up in court or for some appearance, Paul Manafort was suddenly hobbling along on a walker. Yeah, it was kind of surprising. He was in pretty good shape when he went in. Well, today the news broke that he had had been hospitalized for a cardiac event. Now, that's either it's real or it's not. And cardiac event is not exactly a narrowly defined thing medically. But I suspect that one of two things will come out of this. Either it was real and he'll have a stent or maybe die. And if they give him a stent while he's in federal prison, what a slap in the face that'll be to every uninsured American in the country. Or it's all just another fraud like all the other frauds that Paul Manafort has spent his shitty life perpetrating. And it will provide the appropriate setup, the necessary backdrop for Tangerine Tiberius to exhibit mercy, that it was strictly mercy. I absolutely had to pardon Paul Manafort. You can't let a good man like that rot in federal prison, not after what the corrupt FBI did to him. Yeah. 6:19 p.m. in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. You can mark that one down. I didn't even have to use the Ouija board or the magic eight ball with the cracked screen that says answer hazy, ask again later for that one. It was just that
easy.
Okay. So I've been yammering merrily along. Are you still there? Hang on. I can see. Yeah, you're still there. I wonder who it is. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's me, Reggie, from Decatur, Georgia. Man.
Hey, Reggie. What's up, man?
I'm happy for your new net, yet temporarily time slot until, you know, the 17th of next year, of January.
You like it, do you?
Yeah, I do. I love it. I love it. So, well, I was so glad that Whoopi Goldberg finally told Nutmeg to, girl, just stop talking. Please stop talking. In other words, what she was trying to say was, girl, please shut the fuck up.
Yeah, right.
She was talking to Nutmeg McCain, and when they were talking about the impeachment.
Yeah, I know. I'm familiar with the story.
Yeah, see, they were talking about that. And, Sonny was saying something about it. Well, Sonny Halston. Sonny was saying something about it. Well, actually, first it was Whoopi, then Joy, and then Sonny. And then, of course, Megan had to chime herself into it. And then Whoopi said that the reason why she told her please stop talking is because The View has different types of perspectives or opinions. And they allowed everyone gets a chance to speak, but they can't out loud or over talk each other. Because when you do that, you can't hear what the other person or people are saying, right, Bob?
Well, sure. Look, when the shouting starts, the communication ends.
Yes, exactly. That's true. That's true. I mean, what happened to TV talk shows like or such as, well, Oprah Winfrey or even Bill Donahue, where there was more.
Oh, I don't know. They did a fair bit of shouting on Phil's show, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, but not to this level, though. Never to this level. Well, not to this level. And they were in the audience, not on stage, right? Not on stage. It wasn't like Geraldo or Jerry Springer, which to me, the
Jerry Beads, Jerry Beads, Jerry Beads.
Yeah. It's not like that. Well, the View is somewhat becoming that. I hope it's not true.
Well, for the most part, our little Nutmeg is the one who's turning it into that. She's the one turning it into crossfire with the other X chromosome. Nobody else is shrieking at each other. She's doing all of that.
Right. You don't hear.
And
that
she
on
got.
The real
she
daytime.
Got. And so she. This you're gonna get. You get a kick out of this. Because I do pay attention to this sort of vacuous pop culture stuff from time to time. So she tried to pogo stick up onto the cross and put out a clip from Game of Thrones with one of those dragons that was burning. And you know, what's her name? The princess. I don't know. The bleached blonde one. And said, this is for all the other girls who won't be quiet. And she got savaged for that, with one person pointing out, you know, I think it's kind of telling that Meghan McCain identifies with a character who committed war crimes and killed her own people and wound up, getting done away with because she'd gone completely crazy.
But he killed her off. The character, I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, I figured that.
But our little Nutmeg... is not the sharpest spoon in the drawer, Reggie.
Right. And, I mean, she's never been disciplined as a child, especially by her late father, who had more discipline in him and his little pinky finger than she ever had in her whole entire body. I know I shouldn't be attacking politician's daughter, even though he's dead and gone.
No, she's a public figure, Reggie. She's fair game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But you don't hear the talk doing that, now do you?
No, she certainly shows no mercy for anyone else. It's kind of hard to hear her plead for it in her own right.
Right, but you know, Whoopi checked her. Somebody had to. I mean, you can't, when you're the host or the co-host like Joy is, you can't let there's, you know, there's structures. In other words, there's rules, even on television. You can't let people get away with that on television. Then it makes the rest of them and the entire show look bad, doesn't it, Bob?
Well, you'd think.
And the cast and crew members behind the scenes, that makes them look bad, too. The last thing they want is controversy. Well, the very last thing they want is controversy. Am I right or wrong on that, Bob?
No. They live to create controversy, Reggie. That's their mother's milk.
Right, but Whoopi just finally had enough, and I'm sure the rest of them had enough of it, too. I mean, even Joy had to shut him down. Joy Behar had to shut Megan down. You know, I told you about that, didn't I? That Joy Behar had to shut her down.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, so I guess it was Whoopi's turn to do it. I mean, do you hear a bunch of guys doing that on TV? I mean, on...
There was Crossfire, Reggie.
Oh, that's right. There was Crossfire. But now that's long gone.
Yeah, because Jon Stewart came and killed it and told Tucker Carlson and Paul Begala to quit being dicks.
So he got them canceled.
Well, he signaled the beginning of the end for him. If you go and look up the clip, you'll see why.
I wish he would do the same for The View, although not to cancel it, but to tell them to stop being bitches. Well, Meghan McCain, not the rest of them.
Well, but look, you're talking about it on a radio program. That means it's working. That means it's good for them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That is true. But, you know, I mean, you know, but like I said, Bob, you know, that's like you said, the news has become a for-profit multimedia entertainment, right? It used to be news, not infotainment, you know, information entertainment. Now it's become infotainment. It used to be, it's supposed to be separate, or it used to be, but now they're...
No, it's all just one big money-making enterprise. Hey, Reggie, it's good to hear from you, man. I hope you're going to have yourself a good holiday season, however it is you celebrate, and we'll talk again soon. All right, man?
I hope you do the same, Bob, and I hope you keep it warm up there, man, because it's windy out. It's windy down out here in Decatur, Georgia, man.
I'm actually in Alabama right now, and it was a little windy here last night to the tune of tornado warnings.
Well, I hope you keep warm, man. I hope you keep warm.
All right. Thanks, Reggie. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, you're welcome too, Bob. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, man.
Thank you. You too, my friend. Bye now.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye. That was our buddy Reggie in Decatur. And that's just a technology. Listen, there's nothing wrong with your speakers. I don't know why that only comes through on the left channel on this rig. Weird. Just weird. And I guess you'll have that sort of thing. Okay, let's see. See what else is going on. Thought I had Todd. Now I've got Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, how are you?
Good, you?
Well, actually, I'm pretty darn good. I went to, I don't know if I told you about going back to school and all, but the Department of Rehabilitation will pay for me to go to school. So today I actually went to the Department of Rehabilitation to reopen my case. And I actually got an amazing counselor. And I was just a walk-in. They didn't take appointments. This guy, he's like, you know, he listened to what I wanted to do and all this. And, you know, with his evaluation of me, he's like, yes, sounds like you can handle this.
Okay, what the hell just happened? Apparently dropped the call. I don't know. Well, you'll have things like that, I guess. Try back, Tracy. For that matter, try back Todd. Either way. Fine by me. Oh, and big thanks going out for the for finishing off Nidia's challenge. Thank you to very, very kindly to James. Thank you, James, very, very much. And thank you to our buddy Jack in Shreveport for getting us started on the remainder of this evening. And that means we got $125 to go to finish off to finish off fundraising for this evening. I had a question from Jim earlier, and it was a little enigmatic. The subject line said, "Why doesn't it trigger same?" I think that was where I said that the from Trump should trigger. I said if we had a functioning cabinet, that the 25th Amendment would be triggered. And I think that's what Jim meant when he said, why doesn't it trigger it? Because it has to be that we've gone over this dozens of times. The 25th Amendment cannot be triggered by Congress. It cannot be triggered by anyone except the principal officers of the executive branch, which most people read to mean the heads of the various cabinet departments. That's not what it says, though. It says, you know, principles. And so it's never been interpreted by the Supreme Court, so there's really no solid answer to that. But the reason it hasn't been triggered is because you have a cabinet full of bootlicks and lick spittles and sycophants. And even if you get a majority of the cabinet to sign off, then the letter has to be signed by the vice president. It was the best that the people who came up with that amendment could come up with at the time. You can look up the legislative history of the amendment, but it is wholly inadequate. And you know, you got to think even in the 1960s, in the mid, because all this happens post JFK, they had to know. They had to understand that the cabinet officers are beholden to the president for their very jobs. And so it's a lot to expect of one that they would that they would come together and do this. And there's no reference to mental health or anything like that. I think it's clear that mental health is within the purview of the 25th Amendment. But it's really not up to the task. That's why on so many occasions I've pointed out that little phrase that's tucked into Section 4 of the 25th Amendment that says, or such other body as Congress may by law provide. We don't have that body. I think Donald Trump is proving every day, and exponentially so, that we desperately need that body. So hopefully that provides a little bit of a précis, Jim, for what you were asking about. Oh, thank you, Darlene. Darlene in Connecticut says, I'm putting a $100 challenge on the table. If somebody will throw in $25 for tonight and $75 for tomorrow's fundraising. So we need to raise $25 this evening and $75 tomorrow. And Darlene will double it, and we'll be done with fundraising for the evening with about half of the program to go this evening. So if there's 10 folks with $10, 5 with 20, 20 with 5, et cetera, we can take a $75 bite out of tomorrow, which would be wonderful. Okay, let's go over and see what's going on with Todd. Hey, Todd. Yeah.
So, wow.
Okay, so time out. I'm having a tech moment here. So this is interesting. You're coming through on the left and right channel, but the Bluetooth only comes through on the – okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Something's happening because my call dropped and then Tracy's dropped. You know, but I didn't know you were in Alabama. That's probably the problem. I don't know.
Could be, although I've got pretty good bandwidth. I think what I'm doing right now is I'm overtaxing the RAM. I've got too many tabs open.
Are you using the new rig?
Yeah.
On the road?
Yeah, and the laptop that goes with it.
It's crystal clear.
Yeah, I'm pleased with the sound. I think I just don't quite have the processing power. I'll work on that some more tomorrow. I'll have it all sorted out before we know it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, yeah, you're a little bit on fire tonight. And it, to me, it's frightening that more Americans don't see the bigger picture here with the mental health issue. You know, they think this shit is funny. And it disturbs me. I don't understand the lack of, I don't know, whatever. People just can't see the obvious.
Remember, there's none so blind as those who will not see, Todd. There's a lot of people that think he's doing a great job. You know, when I'm in West Virginia, I experience it every day. I experience it every day down here.
Well, so do Steve and I when we listen to Washington Journal.
Right. In your case, you know. Okay. There's the sound effects problem. In your case, all you got to do is go to town in South Carolina, Stan, and the same for Steve in Georgia. To people with functioning brains, it is simply inexplicable that you can watch the conduct of that man and go, oh, no, that's all right. I think he's real presidential.
You could do a week's worth of programs on what is now acceptable and what is not. And see, it's bigger than the mentally ill fascist that we have right now, because we have people following him with a fervor and no qualms about it. And they just don't, it's not even about politics. It's about, it is wrong to have a mentally ill leader. It's just wrong.
Well, wrong. I would go so far as to say dangerous.
Of course it's dangerous. Exactly. That's the problem. That's right. Exactly. And you know, you spent many hours. How many hours did you spend slicing and dicing the intricacies of the 25th Amendment and what it takes to?
Well, I mean, I think we still need to go over it. I mean, what you were mentioning about the maggots. It's sad that we have to rely on comedians to get to the root of the problem of the American civic experience. The Daily Show went to a maggot rally recently, and Jordan Klepper, I don't know if you've ever seen him, he's funny. And so he started sticking microphones in maggots' faces and saying, tell me what you think of impeachment. And they said, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. And so one maggot looks at Jordan Klepper and says, read the transcript, you know, because that's what the God Emperor has told them to say and told them to think.
Yeah.
But Jordan Klepper was ready for him, and he said, well, have you read it? And the maggot said, I have not.
Mm-hmm.
And Klepper responds, but we should read the transcript? We should, he replied. And then there was another one said, well, no, I ain't read it neither, but I don't need to because the president done told me he didn't do nothing wrong. And I trust the word of our president, man. Here, just for the fun of it, let's go ahead and run that audio just so we can have the sort of National Geographic experience of it.
Damn.
I hope you'll be able to hear it.
What do you think about this impeachment? This
bullshit. Bullshit.
Why is it bullshit?
Why? Because he didn't do anything.
It's bullshit. It's bullshit. It's total bullshit. It's total nonsense.
And Trump has been grooming his supporters to push back on any impeachment talk with this simple demand.
All you have to do is read the transcript.
Read the transcript.
Read the transcript. It's all about the transcript.
Read the transcript, right.
Have you read the transcript?
I have. Not read it.
But we should read the transcript.
We should.
Look at the transcript, right?
Yeah, look at the transcript.
Have you read the transcript?
I trust the word of our president. Yeah.
Read the transcript, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did you read the transcript?
I've read most of it, but there's nothing.
Skim the transcript.
Yeah, I don't have time for, you know, reading all the, you know, impeachment, all that bullshit, you know, but.
How long have you been waiting out here for Donald Trump?
Since 8 o'clock.
Hours. A lot of free time.
Absolutely.
Read the transcript.
Read the transcript.
Yeah.
Did you read the transcript?
I don't have to. Everyone else has. I can read it if I need to, but.
Right, yeah. But it's important that everybody reads the transcript.
It is very important. Pay attention and think for yourself.
Yes. You have, but to be clear, you have not read the transcript.
I haven't, no.
Right.
No.
But it is just important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be a sheep. Think for yourself.
But again, just to be clear, yeah. You have not read it.
I have not read it.
You just trusted somebody else to read it.
Yeah, so that.
Who was that a real person that said, I don't have time? He sounded like he was like three quarters drunk, maybe more.
No, he didn't. I don't think he was drunk, but yeah, I don't have time to do that. You've been here for how long? Since 8 o'clock. Hours. Yeah, you had time to read the transcript. We got trouble in River okay. City, and that's, yeah.
Right, and so, all right, fine. People don't recognize the mental illness. That's fine. Maybe they didn't go to school or not. No, whatever. Everybody doesn't see everything. I'll give them that. You know, plumbers, whatever. You know, you don't know that. You don't know. How are you supposed to know? But this other stuff, like not understanding that you don't have to break the law as a president to be impeached. It's not a legal process. It's just like you just unseemly.
But Todd, do you realize that you can't? I've come to the conclusion that that is a lost cause. explaining to people like maggots that there are processes. Look, they don't understand. They don't understand traffic tickets. Okay. I know you're chuckling, but I'm not making a joke. Most, and it doesn't even necessarily apply entirely to the maggots. Most people in this country have no real functional ability to comprehend legal process because they have never been taught anything about it. What they know about the law, they get on Murder, She Wrote and Matlock reruns and maybe from the 90s, like Boston Legal and Ally McBeal. Mm. And for maybe my generation, L.A. Law.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay. No, that was something else.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, right. But okay. All right. That's all right.
So just to give you an idea, today, Jamie Raskin, who did a great job, on mm-hmm. kind of the spur of the moment, because he wasn't supposed to be the one appearing before the Rules Committee. It was supposed to be Nadler, but Chairman Nadler's wife was sick. And speaking to the Rules Committee, you know, lawyers, he testified and said, we're not criminal prosecutors prosecuting a criminal defendant in court to send to jail. That's not what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're members of Congress. Mm-hmm. We're working to protect the country against a president who is committing high crimes and misdemeanors, that is, constitutional offenses against the people of the country. And that's as close to comprehensible as you're going to get.
That's a good way to put that. That was pretty plain. You just think about it, I guess, to me. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, Jamie Raskin is pretty good at, as some folks say, put the feed where the goats can get it. You know, just break things down where everyone can understand it.
It's like something James in Illinois said a few minutes ago. Subject line, never again, asterisk. On the one hand, he says this should never happen to another president. He then turns around and threatens the next Democratic president to suffer a Republican Congress. Ta-da!
See? Okay.
I mean, we're talking about the ravings of a disordered mind. But people, you know, it's like that old line about how it's hard to get someone to believe, to understand something when their paycheck depends on them not understanding it. It's the same thing here, only it's not paydays, it's sense of self-worth. People, far more than with other presidents, people have wrapped and I'm talking about the maggots here. The maggots have wrapped their senses of self-worth up in the success or failure of this horrible man because he gives validation to them and to their various and sundry hatreds. Does that make sense? He gives the, I mean, we need, because I think we need to get this all the way down to our toenails. He gives them value in modern lives that are in many ways meaningless. I guess I lost Todd.
It's me.
Yeah, I lost you. But yeah, what I was saying, he gives these people meaning in some otherwise largely meaningless lives. They're confused. They don't understand the complications of modern life. And that's not me talking down. It really isn't. It is a social failure that will eventually be our undoing.
No, you hit on something very important. What you just intimated is this wave of anti-intellectualism, which no one likes to be talked down to. I get that. But, you know, there was a time when teachers and professors and doctors and lawyers, they were looked up to because they do more than you do. General community.
Yeah, but you know? but in that time when we were functioning, yeah, your doctor may know more about your body. Your doctor may know more about health or medicine. But in a functioning polity, the people who aren't the doctors respect the people who aren't doctors. Okay, because just because you're a doctor doesn't mean that you can pull an engine and do a valve job on a small block Chevy V8.
No, exactly.
You respect the people for the expertise that they have, but because of the leveling influence primarily of television. You've got people who think that they're an expert in something because they saw it on TV, or now in the modern internet era because they read about it in some web post.
Okay, all right. So we're at a point where in public schools we need to have to teach about sourcing material. You know, what's a primary source? What is, you know...
Yeah, you mean critical thinking skills?
Well, yes, that. Exact critical thinking skills applied to the digital age. Because there's stuff just like this own-end network. My God, if Fox wasn't good enough for you, oh, hell no. We got to have more bullshit.
it goes to language. I'm sorry, I'm just a stuttering fool today. It goes to issues of language. For instance, when you read things online, and we know that we are awash in things that aren't true. Remember, the original meaning of the term fake news was stories that were posted about Donald Trump that made him more than he was. Like the guy who posted the story about Pope Francis endorses Donald Trump. That was the classic back in 2015, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it got transmogrified into anything Donald Trump didn't like, which then got transmogrified into anything a Republican didn't like. But if you have those critical thinking skills that you were just mentioning, Todd, then there are giveaways in the things that we read. I saw... Agnes sent me a story, and it was a fascinating story. It was about a dig. I can't remember where it was, but they had discovered a grave, and in a separate cache, a separate chamber, archaeologists had discovered crystal blades. You know, like 7,000 years old or more.
Not obsidian, but crystal?
Yeah, they were clear. And so, you know, probably quartz. And they found the core that one of them was flaked off of. But as I read it, I thought I realized that this was one of those stories that are generated, I don't know, in Macedonia. Remember Macedonia?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you know what written English is supposed to look like, you know, I couldn't tell you this about Chinese or Russian or French or German or none of that. But if you know what written English is supposed to look like, and you read these things, you realize, huh, this is either being generated by a bot or by somebody in a country for whom English is not even their fourth language.
Right. Right. I absolutely understand what you're saying. Because I love YouTube. And, I mean, you have to be a fastidious consumer of shit on YouTube. There's so much bullshit out there. Oh, my God. And it's glossy. It's high pixelated. You know what I mean? People look at the tech. And that's going to be our downfall. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I absolutely do. We're on the same page.
And they say, I saw it on, and this business about getting your fucking news from Facebook. But who said that was okay? How'd that shit start? Jesus Christ, how stupid can you fucking be? I mean, you might be able to get a suggestion, you know, check the link out, okay, fine. You know, you got to do some digging, but my God, people getting their news from Facebook?
Right, and you know, one way to know that you're reading a legitimate news outlet? Now, this isn't across the board, but one way to know you're reading a legitimate news outlet is the fact that you're not allowed to read it.
Right, the paywall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, people are constantly posting New York Times and Washington Post stories. I don't even click on them anymore because I'm not going to be able to read it. And you've got to look, for instance, at the source. For instance, I'm looking at an Agence France-Presse story. Because I read these nerdy things because they're cool, and this is a story about an article published in a scholarly journal, Nature Communications, and it's about an archaeological dig, because I love archaeology, at Silpholm in southern Denmark. They found a Stone Age woman's really chewing gum. It was a piece of chewed up birch pitch, you know, birch bark.
Yeah.
Well, the sap is kind of gooey, and I guess people 5,000 years ago chomped on it.
Hmm. Well, why not? Birch beer, right?
Sure. And so, and it was the first time something other than bone matter had yielded a DNA sample that could be accessed.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So they could find the DNA within the wad, the bolus.
And so they were able to determine that the chewer was female.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to determine that she was more closely related to hunter-gatherers from mainland Europe than to Scandinavians or people who lived in central Scandinavia at the time. And Hans Schroeder of the University of Copenhagen told Agence France-Presse, it's the first time that an entire ancient human genome has been extracted from anything other than human bones. All of which is really cool, and because you're reading Agence France-Presse, you know you're reading a piece of legitimate journalism.
Hmm. Agent France Press. That's agent something agent.
French press agency, AFP.
Okay. Yeah. See. Right. That's fascinating because they didn't have. I guess I can't imagine how Chickle, you know, would get up there from South America. So,
well, Chickle, you know, Central America. The Olmecs did it, I think. Yeah, but this is much older than that.
Hmm.
And this is like the chewy resin from birch sap, we're talking about good archaeologists here, so they're not. I'm the one running around saying ancient chewing gum. But they said they really don't know why she was chewing the stuff. She may have been because people chewed things for different reasons. She may have been chewing it to turn it into some kind of glue, or it may have been like the way indigenous people here we know chewed willow bark to clean teeth, and or she may have just been chomping to be chomping because people do that.
And it tastes good, you know. Birch has a
It does
special kind of tree. And I mean, I think you can do a lot with a birch, you know.
Here's the thing, you know, that they mentioned that she was closer kin to the people of mainland Europe than she was to people living in Scandinavia at the time. She had dark hair, dark skin, and blue eyes.
Wow.
Because back then, most of the folks on the European continent were dark-skinned people.
What? How many thousands of years ago was this?
5,000.
Interesting. Wow. See, there's so much we don't know. That's really interesting.
Yeah, people as white as me are kind of a new phenomenon on the planet.
Well, we try to make room for you, Pinks.
You really want to be careful around us Pinkers.
Well, okay, so.
Because we will steal your land and colonize your shit.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. You got to keep an eye on your Pinks. Man, you people make some good scotch. I will say that.
This bag of shell beads, man. No, this guy gave it to me in the alley to hold for him. We're like that.
Oh God, man, that's too funny. But okay.
But the larger point is, if you see a story like that, and the English doesn't come across as being particularly English.
Mm-hmm.
Be very suspicious.
It's frightening. I feel sorry for my fellow Americans, man. I see it getting much worse before it gets any better.
Yeah.
Just because it doesn't cost a lot to flood the market with this nonsense. It's dirt cheap. You know, and get some electricity, some computers, and that's it. Bandwidth.
And away you go.
You know, it's craziness. But this is what I would like to see. I would like to see our lawmakers get together and.
Well, I got another one I got to share with you just because it's so damn funny.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to the maggots tried to get a hashtag trending. Predicting that he will win big in 2020. And so it is, and I'm not kidding, hashtag Trump 2020 LANDSIDE. I'd like to buy an L. Trump 2020 landslide.
Can I buy an L, please?
I'm sorry, we don't sell consonants here. You're going to have to spin until you get one. They're just dumb. They're just dumb enough to fuck the country forever.
Man, that was great.
Trump 2020 landslide. Get a brain Morans.
Right here.
Yeah, that may be the get a brain Morans for late 2019. Oh, okay. And Jim tells me that birch is still a big thing in Mother Russia. The Russians have their birch tree shops. He said Berioska, I believe. Okay. You knew this was going to happen. This had to happen. Hang on. For Lee in New York, the cowbell, ancient chewing gum. It was to quit smoking. And Steve in New York, wait a minute. Maggot's legal knowledge, it's more like Barney Miller.
Damn. South Bronx style. Okay.
And the pop culture note coming in from Randy in PA. I saw Vanna hosting last night's program on Wheel of Fortune. No Pat for some reason.
Oh. Pat Sajak. I guess he's getting his face done. Who knows?
I mean, it's about time, isn't it? Pat should be over there spinning the letters in a platinum lamé gown. Oh, the horror, the horror.
That's a popular show. You know, Wheel of Fortune is, when you travel for the holidays, I find that a lot of older folk, the kids, it's something when people sit around and live room, everybody can play. And you can see who's working with what, you know.
Well, I'm so old. I remember when the format was slightly different, when you would go shopping for this stupid overpriced shit after you won a round.
They'd make you spend $5,000 for a $40 wallet.
Yeah, I mean, it was the game show equivalent of spending $100 to win a 2-cent Kewpie doll. I won.
Well, let me ask you this. As a black person, let me ask you this.
Yes, ask away. Wait. I do have some good news. We are halfway to meet, with an hour to go in the program, we are halfway to meeting Darlene's challenge to finish the evening and start on tomorrow. We got $50 to go thanks to Charlene, a founding member of the sorority of Leans, responding to Darlene, a founding member of the sorority of Leans, both of them being charter members of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. So that's a cool thing.
Damn.
Now axe away.
Yeah, I know, but now I'm all confused with all these Leans, because Charlene, Darlene, and I'm gonna tell you, Darlene, everybody, but Charlene, Darlene, Tracy, they're those are some strong women. Don't mess with them. Okay. So how come that? It's a couple of things, just two things.
Hey, wait, this is too good, though. Just a sec.
Go ahead.
That cowbell is for Randy. You win a black velvet portrait of a fluorescent clown. Tune in tomorrow. Randy remembers the old Wheel of Fortune, too. Look at all these fabulous prizes.
That was that shit in the basement, man. We were kids in the 70s with the black light and the velvet, those velvet paintings and shit.
Oh, man, if I ever hit the lottery, I'm going to decorate my entire house in velvet Elvis and velvet dogs playing poker. And bullfighters.
And the bullfighter. Oh, my God. And then the Black Panther and the Black Bull on top.
Oh, definitely the Panther, yeah. And the zebra. And you know what? The zebra looks really cool in black light because the white stripes turn purple.
Oh, my God. You know, we didn't know how much fun we were having back then. That's why the 70s shit is so popular, because we were having fun. People were getting along.
I was walking through Wally World the other day, and I saw one of those Christmas that they bring them out every Christmas, the little standalone old arcade games. And this one was William's Defender, the game that I could never master.
Oh my God, Williams with the I know exactly what that logo looks like, because I play one, the pinball machine.
And that evil little thing comes in and just zaps your ass. I could never draw. Yeah. I could never draw a bead on that one. I was looking at that one. Maybe now I can finally get good at this. I never had enough quarters to get good at that game, and there was always that one asshole who had one quarter and he played for 30 minutes.
People don't understand the stuff we play for free. I mean, you'd have to go out and get a $20 roll of quarters, you know, and then maybe have some money for food and soda. That was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, all right, for instance, Electronic Arts. All right, now they make excellent video games. And once again, I had to plug this game, Real Racing 3. It ain't easy, but once you get the knack of it, and I'm telling you, these cars handle and feel just like the real vehicles. It's no joke. This shit is no fucking, it's no toy. It's no joke. They won't even let you get a Formula One car until they have determined that you have the ability to handle that type of vehicle. It's, you know, it's not going to happen. But so stuff like that, you know, we would have to pay. My God, you know, you go out on a Saturday night, you don't have to. I don't have to. These kids, I'm all crotchety, old crotchety man now.
It's, get off my lawn.
Okay. So why is it now that we cannot get bipartisan support for a full neurological and which includes, you know, a psychological exam for a presidential candidate? So we have to deal with this nonsense. Because really, all this is going through the filter, through the lens of this current president's mental illness. You know, he's not normal. And we knew this was going to happen, and we were warned. And when he gets slighted, this North Korea thing's about to blow up because, you know, he's been touting, oh, I got peace in North Korea. No, you know, that's bullshit. These people are still firing off rockets. All this shit's coming to a head. All this shit is coming to a head. And you know, he's going to break. And it's unconstitutional for people not to follow his orders. That's why they were taking papers off of his desk, as you mentioned the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, but like I said earlier, the reason that you can't, that the 25th Amendment doesn't work, and I dare say it's not just a Trump thing, who wants to be fired if it fails? Because that's what's going to happen to you as a member of the cabinet. If you sign off on one of these letters and it fails, you're fired and you're known within your party as being a betrayer for the rest of your natural born days.
What kind of party is this now? Let's just be honest.
No. But I said Democrat or Republican, either one. I mean, just take a look at the mechanics of the 25th Amendment, Todd, and you see how problematic it is. Because it's one thing if, you know, they're sticking the steel eel up old Ronald Wilson Reagan, old 666 himself's ass, and cutting out another chunk of rotten gut inside of him because he was rotten from the inside out, then we all know that he can't be president while he's whacked out of his mind on the chemical cocktail they use to keep you awake at the same time that they're going up you know, up there with that thing. So the vice president takes over, and it's fairly standardized by now, and it really doesn't require any action by the cabinet. Section 4 is for emergencies, and one of those emergencies has to be the insanity of the president.
I would think so.
But the only way that works is if you're a member of the cabinet and you really don't give a damn. And so consequently, you're going to do, you know, you're going to, you take an oath too to be a member of the cabinet, and you're going to honor your oath, and you're going to sign a letter that says this guy is crazier than Cooter Brown's shithouse rat. And then you got to get the vice president to sign off on it. I mean, that's one of the things I don't understand about the maggots, Todd, especially the evangelical maggots.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, they got a much, you know, they got a guy in the White House now who is a serial philanderer, a fornicatory adulterer. I still like inventing that word, fornicatory.
That's a hell of a word.
I thought so. Yeah, I didn't invent it, but I think I probably used it more than any other broadcaster in the world.
You saw it in the showroom when you bought it, didn't you?
I did. Well, look at that. I got to have that. It's like Mark Twain at the beginning of the awful German language thing. He collects German nouns and keeps them on his mantelpiece. I do the same thing. But here's a guy. He's never been faithful to a single woman that he's married. He's got 5 kids by 3 baby mamas. He's a serial liar, and the evangelicals love him. But my question is, why wouldn't you want the guy who's next in line, who's got a hell of a lot better evangelical street cred, and doesn't say to Corinthians? Why do they hate Mike Pence so much?
Because he's too tight. See, they get everything they want out of Trump. They are living vicariously through him.
Do they have everything
that they want?
Do they see a model of heterosexual masculinity and they're just not so sure about Mike Pence because he might be one of those kind of evangelicals that gets caught in an airport restroom with a man in his mouth?
Well, he's too weird. He's just a little bit too much.
He's like them.
Right. He's got a little pretty slutty wife. He can say what he wants. That's why you got to understand these people are living vicariously through him. That's why they say my president. That shit irks me and it frightens me and it hurts me when I hear people say that shit. Like my president. Okay. The guy who grabs women by the pussy and brags about it. Okay, like I said, the shaking their hands, just grab the pussy. Okay, that's your guy. Okay. The guy who talks about fucking his daughter, that's your guy. Okay.
And by the way, just so you'll know, Robert in Morgantown let us know that there's a huge rally to impeach and remove Trump in New York City. Let me see if I can bring that audio up. Hang on.
Please.
Bunch of people carrying a banner says remove them all and yelling democracy stays.
Oh, that was the chant. I was trying to decipher that. Okay. Yeah, it's too late now. You know, and I'm telling you, man, I am not confident. Oh, and I've been meaning, I know it's the third time I talked to you and I hadn't mentioned it. I'm very concerned. Because I don't see, first of all, the DNC is weak and just they don't give a fuck. Because they shouldn't have had all these people running in public from, you know, they started off wrong. Okay, all that shit should have been worked out behind closed doors like it used to be. You get 6 to 8 people running and let it weed out. You know, that's the way that works. When you know you're running against someone who is the particular head of the GOP. I mean, to the point where, like in South Carolina, they're not even running anybody else. You can't even get in. Yeah, it doesn't matter what you got. No, can't, you know, gates closed, sorry, no tickets. You know, you can't get in. So, you know, when you're running against someone like that and the things that we're dealing with, you have to be serious. These people are not serious. They're not serious. And they had to know this was going to be a big election, and they were not prepared. They came to work unprepared. Now, that's factor one. Factor two, we haven't addressed the Electoral College yet. We still are dealing with gerrymandered districts and the fakery and chicanery of the Electoral College. That's factor two. Factor three, the Russia meddling is still going on, and they're taunting us. They know. That's just like what you said. They know. They know the fix is in. And the Republicans keep voting down funding to secure our election. What the fuck is that? These motherfuckers are treasonous. So that's, what is that? We're up to four factors now.
Fifth
factor. Now, I remember, I have a pretty damn good wet cell for some reason. It shouldn't be, but it is. But, you know, in Florida, we never did find out what county was infiltrated and was flipped.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's just like the business with the RNC server. We still don't know what the Russians have.
That's a big deal. I'm just saying, I'm concerned, man, because people have lost interest now. The average person has lost interest in this process. And they just want, I mean, I talked to a lot of different people. I have all types of acquaintances and friends and, you know, across the spectrum. Because everyone's not interested in moves like we are. You know, they're just not.
No, of course not. So, some people, we all kinds of different interests. We're coming up on NFL playoff time. The mythical mythical college football national championship approaches. It's bowl season, by God.
That's not funny. You're right, no. Well, anyway, look, unless something happens, it's going to be tough. I just don't see. And Buttigieg is wasting his damn time because if you don't win the South, you're not going to win. And they don't even want a woman president down here. And the South votes as a
bloc. Well, no, it says right there in the Bible you ain't supposed to be led by no woman.
Now you stop that, son. No, I'm just kidding.
Boy, it does. It says if a woman wants to, a woman shall remain silent in church, shall not have a leadership position, and if she has a question, she needs to remain silent until she gets home and then ask her husband. And the Southern Baptist Convention has reaffirmed that time after time after time. Wives, be submissive to your husbands and subservient to your husbands. Now, how are you supposed to elect? I mean, how's anybody who buys into that horse shit supposed to elect a woman president?
It's not going to happen. And I'm talking across. I talk with people. I'm talking across ethnicities. You know, because the black folks are very conservative, too. They're very conservative. They're not going to rule for no gay president. You know, especially with a husband. That's not going to happen. But, I don't know, it's not the time for that. I don't know what they're thinking about. Look, you're doing a great job, and I hope Tracy calls you back. I'm getting yapping, but anyway. I'm a little fucking envious. How the hell did you get those $5 turkeys, man? That could change my life.
Just write it down and put it under the magnet on the refrigerator. Day after Thanksgiving, go to Kroger's.
You got them from Kroger?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No hormones, no antibiotics. Fresh.
I'm just saying that turkey is one of the best things if you had the right, you know, apparatus and all that to cook it. Just, you know, carve it up.
Well, hey, you know what? Let me mention something since let's do a minute's worth of food porn.
Okay.
There is a new chain down here. It started down in Southeast Alabama, and it's spread all over the South. They're in Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, I think Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, maybe. And it was a woman, and this it's a Southern thing. A woman who absolutely loved chicken salad. And so she perfected a chicken salad recipe and built it into a business. The name of it is, and this is unpaid product placement. For all I know, they're, you know, maggots and it, because, you know, because.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's a chicken salad restaurant. And it's called Chicken Salad Chick. And they got 15 different kinds of chicken salad.
Damn, that sounds good.
It's pretty tasty. I mean, they got a jalapeno one. They got a smoky barbecue one. They got an oniony one. They've got a lemon basil. They got one with pineapple, Fuji apple, and chopped up grapes.
In the little tubs?
No, you go there and they put it on white bread or wheat bread or a croissant for you. And they got
croissant.
Yeah, they got good sweet tea and soup, and they got some pretty kick-ass pimento cheese. And it's but this is all really not about them because I tried it the other day and it was good, and I got to thinking, because I do that.
Mm-hmm.
I got to thinking we got ham salad, we got chicken salad, after Thanksgiving turkey salad. And it almost makes me gag to even say the words egg salad. I just really don't like egg salad.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to get gagged.
Why is there no pulled pork salad?
Because all you need with pulled pork is some good quality barbecue sauce and a bun.
Yeah, but hold on. You got you some real good smoky pulled pork.
Okay.
You chop that up real fine.
Mm.
And you add in a little bit of, you know, mayo or even like softened cream cheese.
Yeah, but you got to have mayo.
And you chop in your onion and you chop in your celery and you chop in your sweet or sour pickle. And you you know, some herbs and spices, maybe some black pepper or a little bit of cayenne, hot mm-hmm. sauce, who knows. Mix it all up, let it sit in the fridge, and let all those flavors marry. You want to tell me that wouldn't be just absolutely drop-dead killer on a slice, on a couple of slices of toasted sourdough?
Is that what you're serving at your new establishment?
I'm thinking about it. I'm copywriting the idea and patenting the idea by putting it out here on this broadcast on the 17th day of December 2019 at 6:20 p.m. Central Standard Time.
I'm not being funny. The little birds have told me that you have your eyes on that piece of real estate across the river that has all the equipment, the restaurant equipment in there.
Stop listening to the little birdies. They're high.
But you know what?
When we get to warm weather, I'm going to fire up the smoker. I'm going to smoke a butt, and I'm going to make some pulled pork salad. Because it kind of has to happen. You know, a little chopped parsley in it.
Man, that sounds delicious right now.
You know, maybe some.
Maybe
some chopped pimento.
Yes.
How would that not be awesome?
No, now you're hitting down, you're cooking with gas. Yes. You know, that's big here. That pimento, the pimento cheese on hamburger, you know, that's a big thing here.
Oh, pimento. It's always been big, but, I mean, there's a pimento cheese renaissance going on. Uh-oh, I've gotten myself in shit. Darlene in Connecticut, food porn. Hang the hell on, Bob. You don't like egg salad, but you like deviled eggs, right? What's the difference in terms of the mixture, my friend? It's the mixture. It's the mixture. Because it's a consistency thing. I can handle the deviled egg. I can't handle the egg salad. And that, you know, that's entirely on me.
The deviled eggs are special. Because they're all, you know, you make the substance and then, you know, you put it in that back into the egg.
Oh, and we'll see, there's a little restaurant and one of their appetizers is pimento cheese deviled eggs.
Now that I'm ready for right now. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Randy's reminding us, you got to make sure the mayo doesn't go bad. Well, hopefully that's what the refrigeration holds up.
So we got some
validation here. Steve from Georgistan says, yeah, that franchise is here, Bob. You're correct, sir, in that it kicks ass. They even have the gluten-free if you're into that.
Damn.
Oh, it's crazy. Here, the drive-through lane was all the way around the building and out into the mall parking lot, making otherwise holiday mall parking, which is already a disaster, into a take your life into your own hands kind of situation.
Well, good for them. I know they're First Baptist Church maggots, but that's okay. Good for them. I'm happy for them. You know what I mean?
And
I'm making assumptions.
Yeah, and it's good. It's good. And when you get their little lunch, you know, because it's decorated real, you know, real Southern girly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, green walls and for your dessert, they give you a little tiny shortbread cookie with buttercream frosting.
So Lindsey Graham's have been hanging out like all the time in there. Okay.
There will eventually be one somewhere near Washington, and Lindsey will be right there.
But see, what you're hitting on now is a big deal. And when you get to the point where you can just crank out a roasted turkey, you know, it's a good thing because you make that, you know, what we call a hash. You add relish, little mayonnaise, the seasoning, chop it up real, you know, that's some fucking good eating, man. That's hard to go wrong with that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So,
and then there. By the way, one other thing. The little place here is just a hole in the wall. It's famous around here. Best hamburgers on earth, and their breakfasts are killer too. And they got a hand printed sign on the door now that says, "We now have chocolate gravy on Wednesdays and Fridays."
Hmm. You ready? Do you still have your OK Asian restaurant?
Oh yeah, it's still there, and it's OK is still bragging.
Well, the only reason I ask is because we got a new Asian restaurant here. It's called Acceptable Asian.
Yeah, tolerable.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if they're related. Well, look, man, I've enjoyed our conversation.
I always do.
And Merry Christmas and all that jazz. I'm going to shake the sofa and see if I can find some coins and put something in the jar.
Appreciate it, man. Don't do any damage to the sofa this time of year.
We'll see. I had some visitors, and they looked like they didn't have any money, but they didn't know what to do with. No, we'll see.
Well, you always, you've got to pull the cushions out. It's kind of like me in the bathtub last night. I ran in, pulled the coverlet off the bed, grabbed the thickest pillows I could find, and sat there in the bathtub waiting to die.
What are you talking about?
When the tornadoes touched down.
It's because you know what? I didn't know what happened. Like you were on for a minute. And I went to another room, and I came back, and I said, something must have happened because the loop is playing. There's no show.
Yeah, I bailed because I don't play with that.
I kind of filled in the gaps when you mentioned tornado and Alabama, and yeah, they were talking about at least tornadoes in Georgia.
Yeah, see, tornadoes down here, and the folks in the other parts of the region can tell you. You ever seen pictures of the Northern Lights? You know, all those greens and yellows and reds and purples in the
Aurora
sky.
Aurora Borealis.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, it's like that, only with, 300-mile-an-hour winds. But the sky turns the same kind of colors.
Well, is it freakishly warm there like it is here?
It was yesterday. It was 75 degrees here yesterday.
Yeah, see, no good can come of that. This is December.
And it was still. And it just...
Bad time.
Yeah, you're not going to enjoy what's next. And the little bastards always run southwest and northeast. I guess Jack was telling me Lafayette, Louisiana got the shit kicked out of it. It killed a couple of people east of here.
How long are you going to be there?
Well into January.
Get out of here. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry. Everything's okay between Agnes and me. It's not an I'm running away kind of thing.
Okay. Well, just be careful because that's, if you talk about North Georgia, North Alabama, that flat prairie kind
of. Oh no! This is Appalachia. This is still Appalachia up here.
Okay.
It's the last petering out of the rolling foothills of Appalachia. It's like the accent up here has more relationship, say, to East Tennessee, Eastern Kentucky, and West Virginia than it does to say Montgomery. On Mobile, Jackson, Mazzuppa.
Yeah, Mobile's different. Man, Mobile's that's a whole different ballgame down here.
Yeah, it's a little more nasal up here, a little less like talking with a mouthful of grits.
You know, I don't know if other people do this, but American accents are fascinating to a lot of people, including myself. When you travel, when you hear these different accents, like And you can almost tell where people are from, you know, like southeastern Pennsylvania, northern Maryland, there's a certain accent. Like Steve Schmidt.
Wooder.
Right.
Wooder in eastern PA. Wooder. And Warsh in western PA. And when you get into the tidewater areas of old Virginia and the old South Low Country, you get a lot of hoose and hoose.
Mm.
Home. That long stretched out O.
It's just fascinating.
Yeah, and then
if you look in a good, like, wait a minute, you have the you have the Bible. Don't you still have your Oxford that you use white gloves with?
Well, I am away from it right now. I didn't have enough room in the car to bring it with me.
Okay. Well, if I remember correctly, it might be the Webster's or the Oxford. I can't remember, but in the beginning, in the first few pages, they talk about the origins of different accents. You know, the Scots.
Well, see, you've got the Scots Irish and you've got the English, but the determinative impact of the Southern accent, because, for instance, you know, people up in Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire. It's a little different, but there's you can hear a kinship between the Southern accent and those. But what makes the difference with the Southern accent is, and you know, I'd just love to tell the Grand Dragon this. What makes a Southern accent is the impact of African language on English. I mean, you were joking a few minutes ago when you said, I want to ask you a question. But that is, that's an identified part of Southern African American speech, but it also has roots in African language. And so the Southern accent becomes the Southern accent when people from Africa begin learning English. And
wow.
So the accent that we associate, especially with the Deep South, is an Africanized overlay. Let's use computer lingo. It's an Africanized plug-in to largely Scots-Irish immigrant English.
Well, how does Cockney fit into this? Because I can see an overlay in my ears.
It's easier to give you an example than it is to explain. If you go, you were talking about how you love YouTube,
right?
If you go on YouTube and you look up Shakespeare original English, you should find some clips from a project at the Globe Theater where they did forensic research using Shakespeare's texts to figure out how the people who originally acted it. Now, I'm not talking about the queens received English the way that all great Shakespearean actors speak the language. That shit didn't exist until the Victorian era or thereabouts. Shakespeare, as it was originally performed. Well, let's just put it this way. I don't want to ruin it for you. You go and you check out just search those terms, original Shakespeare English, something like that. It will blow your mind. To my West Virginia ear, it was like listening to my neighbors.
Isn't that interesting? Damn. You know, there's so much knowledge that comes out of your program. It's just unbelievable.
Now, the question is whether any of it's useful, but yeah, thank you for that.
No, it is useful. I mean, come on, it's used. Believe me, don't sell yourself short. It's useful. You know, just like, you know what? I can't tell you how many times in between, if Washington Journal, you know, they get slow, whatever, and then, you know, I'll switch over. I listen to both, you know, Morning Joe and Washington Journal, you know, when I'm able to. But the things that you bring up, they're like, you know, months behind, years behind. Sometimes they'll talk, what we talked about on the show, oh, they'll bring it up the next day, like they've been eavesdropping. What's up with that?
I think it would be kind of funny, but I figure that's mostly timing because they have to show up for work at 4 a.m. and you know, I had what they're going to be talking about, you know, earlier.
I'm not kidding you, man. I wouldn't just.
It's kind of like the old the newspapers of old. For instance, the afternoon newspaper would be put to bed at 4 o'clock, so that it could be out and on doorsteps, or put to bed at 3 o'clock or 2. So anything that happens after that is not going to be in the afternoon paper. And the morning paper gets put to bed at 6 p.m. or something like that. So, yeah.
There used to be three papers in Philly. There was the morning bulletin, the midday, and then the evening bulletin. And they had stars on them. Because they used to send me to the drugstore to get the paper. And my dad was like, oh, get the one with the most stars. Because if you don't look closely, you're getting the old paper. But anyway.
Was that the Inquirer?
That was the Bulletin.
Oh, okay.
The Inquirer survived. The Bulletin did not. But wow, man. You know, your primer on the 25th Amendment, look how many hours you spent on parsing that out. Folks,
well, I hope it helps. I mean, it's kind of academic at this point, but it's worth knowing about, especially going forward. If we survive all of this, then that little phrase in there that says "or such other body as Congress may provide by law,"
that's the fucking see, man,
we need that body.
Now, no, you got me again for another 5 minutes now. See that right? See that. That denotes a committee can be formed, right?
Yes. I mean, it can be anything.
So, Dr. Bandy Lee and her compatriots, they can get a committee together with some Congress folk.
Well, Congress has to initiate it.
Hmm?
Congress has to initiate it.
Well, they need to stop dragging their heels. This is getting silly. There's too many things going on now that are pressing. You know, we've been lucky that we have not dealt with a serious crisis yet. But you know, North Korea doesn't care anymore. They're doing what they want to do. Our quote unquote ally in NATO, Turkey, now they have Soviet weapons systems and United States weapons systems. You know, what the fuck is that? That's what we need to be investigating. That is fucking frightening. That's craziness.
Yeah. Oh, and as far as such other body as may be provided by law, Randy says that law has to be signed by the president. That would be the conventional wisdom. But I think there's also an argument to be made that the amendment has provided the right to Congress because it's dealing with presidential succession. And that a president might not need to. It is a permitted act under the amendment.
I don't disagree with that. It's kind of
an out there argument, but yeah.
No, but see, and now it's the Supreme. I'm just curious to see how these courts play out, the Supreme Court, because they are expediting things and. This is just, you know, if our lives did not depend on it, this would be a hell of a fucking, like, five-part movie. You know, like, oh, my God, let's binge watch. You know, but this is our fucking
life.
Well,
and it loops back, and I know we've covered this ground before, but I don't think it's bad for us to hit it again because there's people who may not have heard it. We're in a loop right now because it's obvious that... I mean, You know how we've talked, Todd, about these maggots wouldn't impeach him if he walked over to Lafayette Park and started mowing people down with an AR-15?
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't do it.
He was making America great. Those people didn't need to be here.
Right.
Well, I mean, that was the reducto ad absurdum that I had been using. But the fact of the matter is, we now have evidence that he actually did kill people. He killed people in Ukraine in the time that he was withholding that aid. Mm-hmm. And they will not impeach him for it. People died. And so when you add that to the fact that there's nothing in it is not whatever high crimes and misdemeanors are, being nuts isn't one of them. Okay, because you cannot criminalize mental illness. And that's exactly what impeaching him for being crazy would be. Okay, it would be to punish him for having mental illness. And this country does not need that. So you've got to have some way, some remedy for what happens when the president goes... And look, again, I say what I said before. I hope this doesn't bore people. But if we're going to get into this habit of electing people too old to be fucking president, then we'd better do something about the 25th Amendment. Because sooner or later, we're going to need it, and we're going to need it badly. And if let's say it's a Democrat down the road. I mean, we heard the letter from Trump. Let's say it's a Democrat down the road, Todd, and mm-hmm. he and that Democrat goes. What cabinet?
I have no problem with it.
No, what cabinet member? What cabinet member appointed by that president is going to have the courage to say, to other cabinet members, look, we got to do something. And he's gone. God damn it, he walked into the White House kitchen the other day and answered the banana. We got to do something here. And the fact of the matter is, that shit's going on right now. Okay? Trump is not all right.
I've got a
story here. I didn't mention it, but with the letter that Trump put out today,
mm-hmm.
There's already one of those psychologists,
Dr. Lee.
I'm looking here to find out. Dr. David Rice, interviewed on CNN by Asha Rangappa. And he said, it's not like some of us mental health professionals haven't been warning about this for well over 2 years. He tweeted that. And he says, how should Trump's letter be viewed? And this was on Twitter, not CNN. As a toddler crying out to an absent mommy, there's no thought behind it. And hey, look, because this is the kind of thing that happens on the horn with the horn community. Darlene said a few moments ago, or an hour or more ago, that letter was him crying out for his mama. And lo and behold, there's a practicing, fully functional mental health professional saying exactly the same thing. As a toddler crying out to an absent mommy, there's no thought behind it. There's no strategy. There's no consideration of consequences. He feels he's being treated unfairly, and mommy should protect him from the bad people.
See, it's sinking in with him now. Like he doesn't have the mental constitution to be able to partition his hard drive. Okay, he can't separate. So it's going to be all about him. He's not getting any. For instance, his tweet storm, his record tweet storm a few days ago, right?
Yeah.
So When does he work?
I don't know. We know that his mornings are all executive time.
So, you know, the most work he does is go to his Klan rallies and, you know, if people don't like the way that sounds, that's too fucking bad. That's the way it appears to a lot of Americans. It's like a Klan rally. And that's, if you don't get that, that's, I'm sorry. You don't get it. And, you know, we're in trouble. We've been in trouble. And this is nonsense. And this economy is not what it appears to be. This is a $10 an hour economy, you know, and this is, we can't continue with this nonsense. You know, we have auto workers who are being sourced from temp agencies, which means they get no benefits and they're making 10 bucks an hour, where they should be making like 30 maybe, you know. So there are a lot of issues, and people are not connecting the dots. And it wasn't just here. You know, look at Great Britain. There's a reason that Boris is up there like that. You know, it's the fear of the other. You know, there's people in northern England, the coal mining people, you know, they're not that much different than a lot of Americans. You know, they don't like these different looking people around in their community, and things are getting tight, you know, people, whenever money gets tight, people, you know, put up fences and they, you know, they're like, oh, the other. I mean, we could see this coming a mile away, but it's the mental illness. It, you know, I could deal with this and other people could deal with this if it just weren't so blatant. My God, this is why we have to have bipartisan legislation right now. That anyone who's running for president, you have to have a full exam. And the fact that we don't just shows how much we don't really care about mental illness. And that's to our detriment.
Oh, and there's one other piece of information, and this comes along from Randy in PA. Another possible alternative explanation for some of this madness. The Russians have a massive exploitable military advantage, which is time-limited in nature. Intel and possibly Oracle fucked up on their CPU designs so that the U.S. military, international banks, and other government computers may be susceptible to a super worm. The U.S. and other entities may be scrambling to replace the faulty CPUs, but it's a daunting task. In the meantime, the U.S. is adopting a fallback position. The CPU flaws are called Meltdown, Spectre, Zombie Load, and Swap GS, apparently. Besides, Trump was too perfectly good at pissing off the liberals.
Well, wait a minute. What's the bottom line with that?
There are flaws, and I've read about this when Randy made me aware of it. There are flaws in Intel CPUs that are exploitable.
Okay, let me ask you this. Because I don't know if I'm dreaming, because I seem to remember way back when PCs first got rooted in, you know, when it got the first 2 or 3 years of PCs, when it became ubiquitous, and people were talking about, well, you know, and they were made in America then, and people were saying, well, you know, China's about to, you know, launch, they're going to start making, you know, cheaper computers. But the problem is that, you know, our sources say there are back doors in their machinery. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, but hey, I got to share this with you. You remember when we were talking about hashtag 2020 Trump landslide? Remember that? And by the way, we got about 10 minutes, and hopefully we can finish off Darlene's fundraiser. There's only $50 to go on it. It'd be wonderful if we could.
I got the midget in here working on the cushions. Hey, midget, shake that cushion. You're low to the ground. Get it.
You're low to the ground. Wait a minute. Apologies. This is from Lady B. Apologies to Stevie Nicks, and this is going to involve me singing, so forgive me in advance. Apologies to Stevie Nicks.
I took my election, took it down, climbed up a podium, and I turned around. And I saw my reflection in the red hat-covered hillbillies till the landslide brought me down.
The cowbell is for Lady B, not me singing.
The landslide.
Landslide, landslide.
I just can't make myself say it. That is not a word. It's not even a term. Landside. You mean
right?
You mean a port? What the fuck are you talking about? Landside.
Landside. Man. Landslide. They just missed the L.
Man. I tell you, Lady B is the prose laureate of the program. Well, look. Are you going to have any of that good clear? I figured out how to make that. By the way, the clear barbecue sauce. It's like
The white barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, it disappears when you put it on. Oh, you can buy it in stores around here.
Well, I figured out how to make it.
I did too.
And that shit ain't no joke. You can make it really strong or weak. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the stuff in the jar, I'm not so crazy about. I like to make mine. I tinker with it, but it's basically mayonnaise and sugar, and I add Worcestershire sauce and cayenne pepper and black pepper, and the mayonnaise disappears and everything, and you're just left with this beautiful flavor.
And it's all glazy?
Yeah. But not greasy.
No. No, it just, it's different.
Yeah, and that all got started at Big Bob Bibb's Liberty Bibbity. I'm sorry, that commercial stuck in my head now. Liberty Boochman.
You can't stop doing that.
I can't.
You've done that every 15 minutes. You do.
I can't help it. It all started with Big Bob Gibson's barbecue in Decatur, Alabama. And it's specifically for chicken. And it's killer on wings.
That's what I was about to say. That's exactly what I was going to say. I have wings in here right now for that. God, dog, I'm telling you, man.
I know.
Well, look, anyway.
Yeah, it's time for me to get out of here. Tracy, yeah. we'll catch up with Tracy, and I'm going to do a little more tech tweaking tomorrow, and maybe we'll get some of this business sorted out.
Okay. Well, obviously you're excellent at what you do, and please keep doing it. And the beat goes on.
All right, man. Todd, you take care.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you soon. Later. Nope, wrong button. That's the one and only Todd from South Carolina, Stan. Man, we covered some ground. Thanks very kindly to James in Illinois for jumping in. That's $40 to go we got now on Darlene's challenge to get us started on tomorrow and finish off this evening. Subject line Moscow Mitch. James writes, have you considered that there is a deal with Mitch and Vlad that is mutually beneficial? Both sides are using their considerable power to tamp down any and all problems within their sphere of influence in order to facilitate, as Boss Hogg would describe, a good day to make money, any way you can. Well, we know that's certainly in operation with the massive aluminum smelting plant in New York, in Chilkey. Yeah. And, of course, another story today that Mitch's wife, Elaine Chao, has steered more Trump money to Kentucky, which inures to Moscow Mitch's benefit. Yeesh. Well, thanks, everybody. I'm glad we got a program in some semblance of order. It's always nice when the program's not interrupted by a fucking tornado. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to our subscribers and our a la carte contributors. Thanks to everybody this evening who jumped in on the challenges. Thank you, Nidia and Darlene, for making them. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, howsoever you choose so to do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve, and thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Had kind of an earth-shattering news moment today from Joe Manchin, who said in a confirmation hearing, who said that, and I quote, "Mountaintop removal has outlived its usefulness. You could have knocked me over with a feather." We'll try to get to that soon. You know who brought him to that point? Coal River Mountain Watch. And tireless, relentless grassroots activism and organizing. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.